much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Where am I?
In the village.
What do you want?
We want information. Information. Information.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin Costner's like, whoa, I'll protect you. She's like, I don't need it. And he's like, I will. I don't know. Are we falling in love? Not sure. And
This show is a rental car that's been... You're driving it at 80, and then let's just throw it in reverse constantly.
An anomalous, really an anomalous.
The sadness that is usually on the inside is now on outside.
And now, all I'm saying is that from a hetero male perspective, the female breast is a beautiful thing. When we see milk squirting out of it, it's a real boner killer.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 10th of September.
What's up, you guys? What's happening?
Chilling.
I saw a, it's funny, I just thought of this as I heard that clip. I was dragged to dinner on Saturday night with my wife and a couple of her friends. And there was a lady, I want you to pay attention to this, listeners. There was a lady at the table next to me who was quietly breastfeeding her baby during their dinner.
Right.
There were no shouts. There were no protests. Nobody's meal was ruined. It was not the end of civilization as we knew it. It was just a baby having a meal, too. That's all it was.
Is it what the baby ordered? Did he send it back at any point?
This isn't done yet.
The baby, as nearly as I could tell, seemed satisfied. Mm-hmm. But I thought about it for a second, and I thought, how is this the thing that is ripping the nation apart in so many places? And
I mean,
many
it's
stories?
One of the things.
Yes, that's true. But, I mean, there are people who, if they saw that, they would get up and walk out. Or they would go and they would say something to the lady and tell her that she was being gross or disrespectful or rude, whatever. She's just feeding her baby. That's all she was doing. But it didn't affect anyone else in the restaurant, period.
Right.
It was just a surprise to me to think about had that exact same scenario happen in so many other places, it would have been a completely different scenario.
You thinking about it a lot?
No, I forgot about it until I just heard that clip about the breastfeeding.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So I thought it was nice to see something play out the way it should play out.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
Okay. Kevin, how about you? Anything exciting this weekend?
See any boobs?
I did not. I saw The Nun.
Yeah,
the movie
did.
The Nun. That's a movie.
And why?
That's a movie. Because I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, it was in focus.
Oh, no.
Was it in color?
It was in color, yes.
Okay. All right. Another benefit.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
Uh-huh. Did the sound sync up to the movement of the lips on the actors?
It did.
Oh, good.
It
wow.
Did.
So three great things about the movie so far.
No, it's not that bad. It's just most movies turn out to be, if it's a horror movie, there are 3 to 5 great scenes that really scare you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to hold together as a movie. Same with comedies.
Mm-hmm.
You go see a comedy and you laugh really hard 4 times, but then you have to go, well, the whole movie was, as a whole, not so good.
Right.
So that's how I felt about The Nun.
Not a lot of jumps.
Right.
But you didn't regret it.
No.
Oh, okay.
Although my daughter early in the day said, that's a terrible movie. I was like, so she said, don't go. I was like, well, I gotta go. I mean, it looks good to me.
Can prove you wrong.
Right?
Whoops.
Yeah, you still won't see The Meg.
I showed her. Yeah, who's got time? That's an old one. I can't go back and catch up on all the years past, Bean.
It's, I think, 4 weeks.
Yeah, but wouldn't the Meg have probably been more enjoyable than The Nun?
Yeah, but he didn't know that. The Nun was supposed to be super scary.
Oh, was it?
Okay. It looked scary, although the early word coming out of everybody that saw it was not necessarily good.
Oh.
I love scary movies.
I just can't get over a Kevin that doesn't see The Meg. I don't.
I mean, I wanted to and I didn't, but I also feel like that's something you're going to have to get past.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know you anymore.
Because it's all right if I don't.
Why don't you see it today after work?
Just to shut everyone up?
Just to shut everyone up.
We insist.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it would be like if there were a new Weird Al album out and I hadn't heard it yet. You would be like, what is wrong with you?
Very similar. Because his love for sharks.
I do love sharks.
Like,
I do love sharks.
For Weird Al.
But not as much as Bean loves Weird Al.
No one does.
If you are a K-Rock listener of a certain age and you see a story that involves a homecoming queen at a school, you get very, very nervous because, Allie, am I right?
Are you, thinking of Julie?
I'm thinking, yeah,
sure.
Homecoming queen's got a gun, right? That's what you worry about when you see the homecoming queen is in the news. This was not the case in Mississippi. This is at a high school in Mississippi. This is an amazing story. She is a senior at Ocean Springs High School in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. She is also the kicker on the high school football team.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
And she also, on Friday night, was named homecoming queen. She was very surprised. Kaylee Foster's her name. Lovely young woman. She said she was not, she was very surprised to be named the homecoming queen. But, you know, immediately after the ceremony, before the Friday night game, she had to run into the locker room and change and get ready for the game. And not only did she get named homecoming queen that night, but she also won the game in overtime with the extra point kick that broke the 12-12 tie.
Damn.
Did she do the play-by-play too as well?
She might as well. She might as well have. In fact, her team, the Greyhounds? Yeah, she's the Greyhounds. They were playing the George County High School Rebels. As I mentioned, it was 12-12. The Greyhounds had scored just one touchdown. She had the other 6 points with two field goals earlier in the game from 20 and 30 yards out. And then good old number 15 was called in to break the tie in overtime with a field goal. Which she did.
You think afterwards she just goes, I have to do everything?
Right? She's like, bow to me. I'm the queen.
And it is, I mean, they're still researching this, but no one can ever remember this happening before where somebody was named homecoming queen and also won a football game in the same night in the history of high school football. Or college football, for that matter, I guess. But she was very excited, obviously. She said the next thing I knew, everybody was right there. You know, they were all jumping up and down. They had a nice group hug, she said. She said that her phone was blowing up, as you can imagine, but she had to turn it off because she had to take her ACT the next day, which is a college entrance exam. But she said once she was getting through that, she was really excited about going to the homecoming dance that night, you know, with the rest of her court and everything. She said, I really don't have any words. It's just been wonderful. I love football. I love Ocean Springs so much. By the way, she also is a star soccer player at the school.
Of course.
That's her primary sport.
Right.
Is soccer.
Come on.
She runs track, and she has been playing organized football for 6 years. So even in junior high, she was playing football. She says that her teammates are a bunch of brothers. She says when she first brought up the idea of playing football, her parents did not discourage her. They told her to go ahead and go for it. And she says they all treat her just like one of the guys. The only difference is she does not change in the locker room. But other than that, they completely treat her like one of the guys, which is surprising for high school boys.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah,
have that level of maturity, especially when you have a, you know, let's just say it, a very attractive homecoming queen on your team. You know, you how do you look at her as one of the guys? But they do, to their credit. So I just think that's an amazing story.
She's also a heart surgeon. A lot of people don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just on the side when she has time.
Right. She's like Tuesday afternoon.
You know, I need some surgery.
So I wonder what her, I wonder what she, this is the type of person that you look at and you go, man, she's got a lot going for her, so much potential. I wonder where she'll be in 10 years, in 20 years. I wonder if she will continue to, her life will continue to play out this way. Or if it'll just, you know, high school will be magic and end, and then she'll just,
the rest of her life, she'll just look back and go, that was so fun.
Right? Like Al Bundy in the shoe store.
I liked it.
Like Al Bundy in the
shoe
store.
Good reference. I like that.
Exactly. So congratulations, Kaylee.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Useless. Useless.
We have tickets to the Ohana Festival.
That looks like fun.
It does look like fun.
I believe fellow ukulele player Eddie Vedder is going to be on the bill.
Maybe you could come out and join him?
I don't think I'm ready for that yet.
The concert's not today.
Yeah, okay. When is it? Like a week?
So you have time.
I got some time. It's September the 28th through the 30th.
Okay, a couple weeks.
Right? Can you imagine Bean walks out?
Yes.
With Eddie Vedder?
Yes.
And Eddie goes, Bean, everybody! And then he just goes crazy on a solo.
would be so awesome.
You don't know, man. That could happen.
Nope. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
Oh, lots to talk about from yesterday.
Talking week one of the NFL. Awkward boners.
Are they going to be on the show today?
Oh, these are two different topics?
Two different topics, yes. We're going to take phone calls. That's our phone topic.
I saw a lot of tweets about Aaron Rodgers. I was like, what happened?
That was Andrew's awkward boner.
Right? Mm.
But Serena Williams had herself a weekend.
Yeah.
Good times. Omar is a chicken pusher. We'll have to explain that to you, as it's rather odd. And it's Monday morning, so it's great news. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
They keep telling us that the new album's done, but they won't tell us when it's coming out. It's driving me crazy because you know how much I love Vampire Weekend.
Yep.
I want it, and I want it now.
Right. I don't think they care.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Monday?
Well, bummer. After we were off the air on Friday, we found out that Mac Miller had passed away of an apparent drug overdose. Mm. 26 years old. Such sad news. The family released a statement saying, Malcolm McCormick, known and adored by fans as Mac Miller, has tragically passed away at the age of 26. He was a bright light in the world for his family, friends, and fans. Thank you for your prayers. And then just all of the reactions from anyone that seemed to cross his path had the same thing to say, that he was just one of the nicest, sweetest people that they'd ever met. Chance the Rapper said, I don't know what to say. Mac Miller took me on my second tour ever, but beyond helping me launch my career, he was one of the sweetest guys I ever knew. Great man, and I loved him for real. I'm completely broken. God bless him. And Post Malone said, you were such an incredible person. You changed so many lives, had so much love in your heart. You inspired me throughout high school, and I couldn't be where I was today without you. Never more kind and sincere and beautiful person. And that was said from everybody from Wiz Khalifa to Snoop Dogg to Big Sean.
Even Elton John on stage over the weekend teared up talking about Mac Miller. I mean, he had fans everywhere. And you know, it's funny, Allie, you bring up all the nice things that people say. We expect that when somebody passes. That's when people say nice things about you. But it sure seems sincere this time around, man.
Yeah. And it was all about just how kind and sweet he was, not what a huge talent he was.
Right.
You expect the, man, I grew up listening to you, you really changed me, that type of thing. But just by all accounts, just a sweet, sweet man. So rest in peace to Mac Miller. Dead at the age of 26 years old.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Good tip, Bean.
It is a good tip.
But that's what killed him. You know what I mean? He should be alive.
Right, I agree.
Guys, The Nun that Kevin saw over the weekend opened at number one, 53.5 million. You guys, that was the second biggest September debut of all time.
You are all going to die tonight.
What?
And Kevin, what did it look to you like it cost?
It didn't look too cheap.
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I guarantee they're already making money.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
They're way in the black, I bet.
Yeah, that's incredible. The second biggest September debut of all time.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts. Nuts. Number two, Crazy Rich Asians came in second, 13.6 million. That pushed its total to 136 million. Followed at number three by Jennifer Garner's new movie, Peppermint, with 13.3 million. The Meg, still holding on for Kevin to come see it, took in another 6 million to land in fourth place and bring its total to 131 million. And then rounding out the top five, a movie that we all saw, we all thought was great, Searching. Another 4.5 million in its second weekend. So good stuff there. Guys, Les Moonves. Woo!
Yeah.
You do not want to wake up and see your name trending along with someone that works for The New Yorker. You know what I'm saying?
Is this Ronan Farrow again?
It is.
Boy, this guy cannot stop.
Yeah. The announcement of Les Moonves resigning from CBS was announced yesterday amid new allegations. Six more women accusing Moonves of sexual assault and harassment in a new report that was published on Sunday in the New Yorker. Moonves was expected to collect an estimated $100 million in severance, but he could end up with a lot less than that. In fact, maybe nothing.
I just want to understand. Mm-hmm. He, in his deal, mm-hmm. if he walks or if they fire him.
Probably both. Either. It's probably two different deals.
Then they have to pay him $100 million more than whatever his salary is?
Well, this is all pending an investigation into allegations of violence against women. It's going to be conducted by an independent law firm. So if if they find him guilty, then he gets none of that money. But CBS also said that they and Moonves will be donating $20 million of his severance package to organizations supporting the Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Shame on you, CBS!
But let me ask you this. These, because I have not read the account from The New Yorker. These new women that have, we're hearing their stories now. These are all, again, waybacks, right? These are not things that have happened since he's been married to Julie Chen?
I think 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because I remember when his wife, Julie Chen, hosted Big Brother, when the first round of allegations came out, she said, that has not been the case. He's a new man. Nothing like that has ever happened since we've been together, and I stand by him, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it sounds like he was a very bad boy, especially before he got married.
He was married that whole time to another woman.
Oh, to a different woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which he then, they're, you know. Depends on who you ask, but Julie came in at a really interesting time.
I see. So, I got you now.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Sit tight, Julie.
Should they put Les in the Big Brother house now? Should that be his punishment?
Well, maybe we'll now see less of Julie Chen on CBS, because, I mean, really.
That's possible.
Your husband runs a company, got a lot of jobs on CBS.
Okay.
Maybe we give those jobs to other people.
Well, I do love seeing the accountability now.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see where that $100 million goes. You never know. It's very interesting. Very interesting times we're living in. Who's with me?
Shame on you, CBS!
Right.
You guys, it's one of my top three men's birthdays.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Colin Firth. Right? What a babe.
Well, all the ladies love Colin Firth.
I don't get him, but...
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
And I could look at other guys and go, that guy's really good looking. And that guy, he doesn't strike me that way.
Okay.
Is that your type, Kevin?
Not my type. Thank you, B.
Ryan Phillippe, more your type?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's his birthday, so that's who you'll love. Mm-hmm. Bean, can I interest you in dancer Misty Copeland?
She's very talented, not my type.
Okay. All right. Well, happy birthday to all three of you. That's what's happening.
Listen to K-Rock all this week, including 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to win a 4-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort. Why, Allie? Because it's Halloween time at Disneyland.
Best.
Happening now through, Halloween. So 9 o'clock this morning, win that 4-pack. You can head to krock.com for another chance to win. So is it Halloween, like the day the pumpkin spice lattes hit Starbucks? Is that when the Halloween season begins?
I feel like that's a good barometer.
That one, and I also feel like even though it gets earlier and earlier each year, when you go into a store and they put out all of their Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of forces you into it.
Isn't it kind of interesting that people seem less angry about Halloween coming earlier and earlier than they do Christmas?
I want to know what that's about, because that
too is
a great
Christmas
point.
Has a lane. Stay in it.
Well, and I think a lot of people agree with you, Kevin, but I don't know why that would be.
Because we're 7 weeks out from Halloween right now, if my math is correct. So that would be like starting all your Christmas stuff on Halloween, which is 7 weeks out from Christmas.
And that's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that.
And people would say you're insane. Yet here's Kevin going to see a scary movie this weekend because it's Halloween time.
Oh, I mean, there are going to be more, I hope, at this time because it's Halloween time, but I would see a scary movie anytime. But,
right.
Okay. So, has anyone taken it so far in this room as to start putting up their Halloween decorations, he wondered out loud?
Well, no, that's a ridiculous thing to say. Who would do that?
It's one thing for the stores to sell, but clearly you don't put up your black and orange lights at this time
don't
of year, right?
Stupid.
Listen, I got a late jump this year.
I'm sorry?
I was going to put them up not this weekend, but the weekend prior, but I had a guest visiting. And I thought, oh, maybe it is too early because it was like September 1st.
Right.
Maybe
that's
that was,
Labor Day weekend.
Maybe that was too early. But I asked the authority on Halloween, a man that basically when you say to yourself, oh, Halloween, what kind of images does that conjure up? Oh, pumpkins, ghosts, Danny freaking Elfman.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman is in here.
He is the pumpkin king.
He is the pumpkin king. I asked Jack Skellington, Jack, but I called him Danny.
Sure.
what's too early for decorating for Halloween? His answer, and I want y'all to listen. I want y'all to listen with both your ear holes. He said, it's never too early for Halloween.
Agreed.
And, I mean, I got
the
lady
kids?
Boner.
Where the kids?
Got a lady boner right there.
Yeah! Okay, you say agreed, Kevin, but if you drove by somebody's house, at least, and she had Halloween decorations up, she had pumpkins and bats and cobwebs and ghosts and everything in her front yard, say, in August, you would sneer at that. You would say, that's ridiculous. It's way too early for Halloween decorations.
Let's talk about two different things. One is indoors. Mm-hmm. The other is outdoors. Like,
agreed.
I feel different about both
agreed.
Of those.
And all of mine is indoors right now. I did get a ton of messages from people. A lot that said, I did my indoors last week. I'm not a crazy person that's going to do the outdoors. I can't let my neighbors know I'm nuts.
Right.
But I did. I started decorating on Saturday. And I have, I would say, 60 to 70% done. And
how
I posted,
much Halloween stuff do you put up?
I have a lot. But I combine Halloween, fall, Thanksgiving. It's all one big thing. So everything from the pumpkins to the leaves to the cute little, oh, hey, I'm just a pilgrim. Those kind of things are all in one thing.
All right, Kevin. So you say you have a difference well between indoors and outdoors.
Yeah.
I celebrate Christmas year-round. I'm listening to Christmas records all the time. You know, I've got Half Christmas and all that. That's me celebrating indoors, not outdoors. But that seems to drive you crazy.
Half Christmas is dumb.
But half
Allie doesn't come in at half Halloween and go, yes, it's half Halloween.
Right, but you're saying as long as it's inside your house, though.
Inside your head. Stop telling us.
Oh, I'm not allowed to say it out
no.
loud.
No.
Okay.
No, I just think if you're going to put decorations outside, that's a whole different thing because now other people are involved when they drive past your house.
I will say this, and it happens every time I post my Christmas stuff. I get a lot of messages from men that are like, why are you doing this to me? Now my wife saw your picture. She brought it right to me. So here's my favorite from a woman, French Pixie. After seeing this, I told my husband that we need to get our Halloween decor from the garage tomorrow because clearly I'm behind schedule. Allie's got her stuff up. And I thought, oh, husbands hate me so much.
So you put up your decorating Instagram stories over the weekend. And predominantly, what was the reaction?
I would say 90% of people said it's never too early for Halloween, which is so interesting to me because when I put up my Christmas stuff, usually the second week in November, 90% are like, too early. Why are you doing this to us? You're ruining my Instagram experience.
All right. Now, let me throw this theory out, and I don't have anything to base this on. I'm just spitballing here. Mm-hmm. Could it be that Christmas invokes a different reaction to people because there's pressure on you for Christmas? Because
yes.
that means you've got a million things to do in your own life.
Absolutely.
In terms of gifts and whatnot. Halloween is just a fun day that everybody enjoys. They see your Halloween decorations. It doesn't mean, oh, my God, I've got all these gifts to buy and parties to go to and things to do for end of year.
I think you're right on.
I didn't
think
of that, but that's a good theory. That's a good theory.
Look at you, Bean, getting kudos from both of us. Well done, Bean.
It's never happened.
Look. If there's one thing we all agree on, it's that you don't ever want the referee or the umpire to affect the outcome of the game.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And we've all been there. We've all seen our team get ripped because of a bad call, a bad decision by an umpire or ref. This event that happened at the U.S. Open over the weekend with the Serena Williams match was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in the history of professional sports, and it's really become a litmus test for how people look at it. A lot of people think Serena Williams was mostly responsible for what happened because of her behavior. Others say that it's the grossest example of sports sexism that they've ever seen on television before. So for folks who don't know what was happening, this was the U.S. Open women's final. Serena Williams trying to win her 24th Grand Slam. And she is playing an excellent young player who's 20 years old named Naomi Osaka, who, by the way, is the first ever Japanese and first ever Haitian American to win a Grand Slam, as she eventually ended up winning. But there was a lot of controversy, and let's go through it a little bit with the Ruse report from CBS.
On the women's side, Serena Williams was defeated yesterday by Naomi Osaka of Japan in an emotional and controversial match that some say exposed a double standard for women in tennis. Here's Mireia Villarreal.
Naomi Osaka is a powerhouse from the baseline that blew through six U.S. Open matches to meet up with tennis legend and idol Serena Williams in the final match. Serena was battling back in the second set when a hand gesture was interpreted by chair umpire Carlos Ramos as coaching.
Okay, now that's an important place to start. Coaching is illegal in tennis.
Right.
As was discussed a great deal after the match yesterday, every coach in every match coaches from the stands.
Right.
It never gets called.
Now, part of his hand motion was a thumbs up, and that is what she said she saw?
That's what she said she saw. She said, and this is what started the snowball that got Serena so upset, and understandably, because she felt that she was being accused of cheating. She's like, look, he gave me a thumbs up. I am not a cheater. That's not what's going on here. By the way, the interview with the coach after the match said, I was 100% coaching.
That's what he said, yeah.
He admitted that he was coaching, but he also pointed out that everybody coaches all the time, always. Why was this called?
Alex, do you have any thoughts? Never called. And especially not in the finals of a U.S. Open.
Really?
Exactly.
Okay.
As we always talk about, whether it's Super Bowl or Stanley Cup final or whatever, when it gets to that point, you let the players play. Mm-hmm. You try to interfere as little as possible. All right. So she got a warning for that. And she was really ticked off. And, you know, for somebody who is arguably the greatest athlete of all time, it was surprising to see how rattled she was by that warning, because she would not let it go. And every opportunity she had, she kept going back over to Carlos Ramos and she kept yelling at him and saying, you owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. Were you a little bit surprised by that, you guys, that she didn't just let it go?
I was, because obviously it's a very tense time anyway. You're in the mm-hmm. final of the U.S. Open. But then I started thinking about everything that she is up against all the time as a tennis mm-hmm. player. This is decades worth of disrespect that comes her way. And it had to be just building and building and building. And knowing that it's never called, and knowing the things that are about to come up in this story
right.
uh-huh. that are never called.
Yes.
I would have snapped decades ago.
Yeah.
I really would have.
And she has had problems at the U.S. Open in the past with line judges and whatnot. I mean, she has had some legitimate complaints even going into this. So in her mind, she's like, what the F? Again with this?
Right.
What do I have to do? All right. So we've got the coaching warning now.
I didn't get coaching.
It then set off a string of violations that cost her a point and then a game.
Okay. So she's so mad that at one point she smashes her tennis racket on the court, destroys mm-hmm. it, which is now they take a point away from her.
Right.
Now they give the next round starts with 15 for her opponent because of that.
And that's automatic for every player, man and woman, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think that is. That's considered bad form, right? Okay, but because she keeps screaming and eventually ends up calling the umpire a thief, that's when they take a game away from her. Now, you're already fighting for your life. She's already behind in this U.S. Women's Open final, okay? Now they take a game away, which seems incredibly extreme. This is where I say it's all on the umpire, who should have been above that and should have let that fly. And as she points out, and I think we'll hear this in the story, you could put together a 10-hour reel of men screaming much worse things than that.
I'd watch that.
And screaming at Carlos Ramos. I think it's Carlos Ramos, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, screaming at him.
Yes.
Video after video after video, and he sits there and takes it because it's not a woman yelling at him.
And I think,
and my God, to have a woman yell at you, you have no penis. You have lost all your authority.
I know that there are some people who say, hey, we interject race and sexism into stories too much when it's not applicable. I think based on the evidence of Carlos Ramos in the past and the abuse that he's taken from other players, I don't think there's any other way to look at it as this was either racism or sexism, because he was very quick to say to you, you lose a game.
I'd like to say that there is a third option, which is mm-hmm. that she rubs him the wrong way and he's annoyed by her from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be sexism or racism. That could also be a thing.
Then maybe he shouldn't be calling her matches,
agree.
By the way.
Agreed.
If he's got a pre-existing bias. All right, let's hear some more. Okay, so now it's hard to hear because the crowd is going wild. So she loses a game because of verbal abuse because she called him a thief. Okay?
Yeah. How many other men do things that are... I don't want to do much worse than that. This is not fair.
On social media, former professional umpire Richard Ings defends Ramos, saying that he made absolutely the correct calls as a chair umpire.
What did I say? Why did you give me warning? What?
In 2017, Novak Djokovic had his own Ramos run-in at the French Open.
I do know he's a notoriously strict referee who's had a history of kind of doling out these code violations.
Ava Waldus covers sports for the Washington Post.
I think Serena Williams was making the case that because I'm this quote-unquote angry black woman, or I had this outburst and I had emotions on court, I'm treated differently than a man who has those emotions on court.
By the way, there were even professional tennis players, like James Blake was one, who said, I've done far worse than that and have never been called.
Oh,
and there were,
Andy Roddick came out and tweeted, worst refereeing I've ever seen. The worst.
Billie Jean King said the same thing, said that's absolutely what was going on. And by the way, what makes this so awful, I mean, it's awful for, as I started with the conversation, you never want the referee involved in the outcome. But what really makes this awful is poor Naomi, who, by the way, who's completely innocent of all of this, and now has been turned, thanks to this ref, has been turned into this villain, as if she somehow hasn't earned her place there, as if her win has an asterisk on it, as if she, you know, as if she's the, you know, she's the bad guy, when all she's doing is out there trying to play tennis. And they were raining boos down on her.
I think they were booing her. They were booing the whole situation.
But how did that make her feel standing there in her, the greatest moment in her professional life, though, to see what was going on in that crowd?
100%.
Which is why,
thank God, Serena put her arm around her and told the crowd to stop booing. She earned this win. Serena could have been quiet throughout the whole thing, just stewing in anger. But she stood up for this other woman, saying, hey, it's not her fault that this ref is a complete jackass.
Right. I mean, she could not have handled it with more class and with more grace. And I think at the very end of this clip, I think we have a little bit from the post-match press conference.
Osaka won her first Grand Slam title in straight sets, 6-2, 6-4. Despite facing a $17,000 fine for her violations.
By the way, $17,000 fine on top of everything else, which is nothing to Serena. I mean, she won almost $2 million for being the runner-up in the final. But still, $10,000 for having those words with the ref.
$17,000, yeah.
$10,000 for the ref, right. Yeah, and then another three, I think, for... Three for the racket, four for the coaching. Exactly right.
Serena remains unapologetic.
Maybe it didn't work out for me, but it's going to work out for the next person.
Mireia Villarreal, CBS News, Los Angeles.
So that was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Indeed.
So in the 7 o'clock hour, we have great news, and then we also have a segment on awkward boners. That's a little bit redundant, isn't it? That's all coming up. Plus, Andrew Siciliano will be here in the 8 o'clock hour to recap week one of the NFL, which, Allie, did you hold tight and not watch?
Sure did.
Didn't see your Patriots.
No, I watched the Bobby Brown story that I had recorded from last week.
Wow.
It's a two-parter.
How about that? And Chip, the Dolphins got a win and you missed that too?
Don't care.
You're out also. Wow. Oh. Okay. All right. So Andrew will feel very welcome when he stops by, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
Understand you're on some new health kick. Is that accurate?
Me? No.
What's happening with you?
I've been super healthy for the last couple of years.
Why are you bringing in so much Tupperware lately then?
I do it from time to time. I cook a lot of chicken, and Allie just happened to walk in. You guys, you know, I'm in my little cave studio.
Right.
And
we're not even sure you're here most days because we don't see you.
Exactly. So I always bring in my Tupperware with my grilled chicken in it, and Allie walks in to confirm that I received a change in something. And she sees my Tupperware of chicken, and she's like, oh, wow, that's a lot of protein. And I was like, yeah. And so she's like, oh, you know what? I'm starting an all-protein diet soon, right?
Yeah, I wanted to more of the lean proteins. But when I say a Tupperware of chicken, there were like four chicken breasts in this Tupperware. And I was like, got any chicken? What's happening, Omar?
I eat every about 2 hours or so.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll like cut one in half. And yeah, it's a couple of meals in there.
So I asked him, how much chicken are you making a week?
Because you make it for the whole week.
Right. About 4 pounds. About 4 pounds of chicken. Yeah. I'll make it either Tuesday or Monday, and just put the seasoning on there. and I'm pretty good at making chicken. Guys. I'm like, you know, I'm a barbecue master, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So at 300 degrees, I cook it, you know, for maybe, I don't know, a half hour or so. And
do you have
it comes
a timer
really
or do you not
moist.
Use a timer?
No.
No.
A timer's for you know, amateurs.
You just sort of could feel it.
I kind of feel it and then just make sure, you know, the internal temperature is at 170, guys.
Well, of course. So we're not savages.
If it doesn't reach 170,
that.
You could get sick.
Right.
So I might have overstepped my boundaries with the coworker when I said, hey, if I bring in my own Tupperware and some money, can you like be my chicken pusher? Which then Chip said poultry pusher.
Yeah.
And it made perfect sense. And then I thought to myself, that's just a creepy thing to ask your coworker. Can you be my meal planner?
Yeah. It doesn't seem creepy.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, maybe it's weird.
Hey, if I could, you know, provide Allie with a protein,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. That's the misstep you made, Allie.
Huge misstep.
let me weigh in for a second. Mm-hmm. Knowing the players involved.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything weird or creepy about you asking Omar, hey, if you're already cooking up a bunch of chicken, could you cook up a little extra for me? But having said that, I don't feel that's how Mrs. Omar would look at it. If Omar goes home and says, I'm making a little extra for the hot blonde at work, all of a sudden I think there's a completely different vibe on this thing.
I'm going to guess Omar's not going to sell it that way.
You know what? I mentioned it to her over the weekend.
You did.
Yeah. And she says, oh, that's weird. That's fine.
Which is exactly what you thought she would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
She's put up with so much from Omar. He's so lucky she's still there.
She has a lot of
things. This is the least of her worries.
Totally. Right. Totally.
So are you taking orders? Can you bring me in some, you know, some potato salad? I mean, how does this work?
No, but I
are
do
you
make
our,
a mean...
our personal red apron? What's happening here?
I do make a mean mac and cheese. So if you guys want some mac and cheese.
I'm so about the
absolutely,
mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, put Kevin down for some mac
please,
and cheese. Mac
please.
And cheese.
I feel like this could be a real side hustle for
or
you.
Some chili. I don't need another thing to do.
You really
I'm
don't.
Really tired.
Come on. You can do catering while you're DJing. You're giving out food
and wrapping my little girl's soccer. Oh, man.
So is there a premium, though? I mean, look, this isn't free. Your time and your effort is not free.
Oh,
I'd
pay him.
Yeah, so Allie throws out, I'll pay you $20. And I thought that was a little cheap, to be honest with you.
$20?
Because you don't know how good he is at chicken.
How much when you go to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, okay, how much do you expect to pay for some gourmet stuff?
Okay,
stuff is gourmet legit.
Wow. I could also buy about 4 pounds of chicken breast myself for $20.
Right,
yeah, but are you going to cook it and are you going to get like the Omar special sauce
all
in
right,
it?
No.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51. Many listeners tell us it's their favorite part of the Monday Morning Kevin and Bean Show. It's great news, and it's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening.
Post Malone going through some stuff lately, right?
Well, someone's trying to kill him.
Obviously. So, a couple weeks ago, his private jet had to make that emergency landing because two of the tires had blown during takeoff. So that was kind of a touch-and-go situation. People were really nervous about him. Then on Friday morning, Post Malone's $320,000 Rolls Royce, $320,000 car. His Rolls Royce was involved in an accident with another vehicle in West Hollywood. A Kia apparently hit the Rolls Royce. There's a little difference in prices for those cars, causing his car to spin out. No one seriously hurt, and apparently it was his assistant that was driving the car while he was in it. But he wound up tweeting following the accident, God must hate me, LOL. I don't know.
Sometimes when it rains, it pours.
Exactly.
If you guys had a $320,000 car, I know it's hard to put yourself in that mindset because who would spend that much? Would you drive it on these in Los Angeles? Because I just feel like there's so many people not paying attention.
Right.
That car is going down.
Right.
What would the point of owning it be if you didn't drive it?
I don't know. Maybe drive it on special drives or something. But during drive time to and from work or whatever, I just don't think I would take the risk.
Well, if you're Post Malone, you would then shell out $420,000 on a new Rolls Royce Phantom.
Okay.
Which is what he did the following day.
Okay. All right. Then.
I mean, put some bubble wrap around you, around your car, around everything. But the story doesn't end there with Post Malone. His former home was invaded on September 3rd by robbers looking for the rapper. He no longer lives in this home. But a resident there was pistol whipped by angry robbers that were shouting for Post Malone. And then when they couldn't find him, pistol whipped the person that lived there now and made off with $20,000 worth of jewelry, cash, Jesus. And cell phones. So maybe stay away from Post Malone for a bit.
And stuff's when was happening. That? When was that home invasion robbery?
That was September 3rd.
It was the 3rd of September.
Thank you.
Why am I not seeing it?
I didn't see it coming either.
I appreciate you.
It's pretty sweet.
Giving me the setup.
Oh, God bless you. I love it so much. Well, John Legend is now an EGOT winner. You know what that is, right, Kevin?
Sure.
What is it?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and something with a T.
Tony. Yeah. Which is extremely, extremely rare to get all of that. But the 39-year-old entertainer won his first Emmy at the 2018 Creative Arts Emmy Awards last night in L.A. He, along with composers Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, all achieved their EGOT status last night for a win in the Outstanding Variety Special category for producing Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert that was on NBC, which was phenomenal. By the way, he's won 10 Grammys over the years.
And I was going to say, that's not surprising. He's so talented.
Yeah, Grammys, you understand. Oscar, I remember he won for the song Glory for Selma.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that he won a Tony. He won a Tony for Best Revival of a Play because he produced the show Jitney.
Oh, Jitney.
Jitney, yes. Sure. Well, woo. Now it all
makes
sense.
Once you say Jitney, then right? I'm all in.
I think that's a famous African-American stage play.
All right.
We were just having fun.
My gosh, he's an EGOT winner. That is huge.
How old is he?
He is 39 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and at least he's married to a terrible person, right?
No, he's married to a wonderful woman, great mom, not only a model, but also has cookbooks, really tends to be funny, wonderful videos of their families together. It's just, yeah, I think it's not fair is what we're saying.
He's, right. He's got it. He's dialed in to life.
He's got everything. Absolutely. Project Runway, you guys. I'm really sorry for all of you people that love Project Runway because it's never going to look the same. Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn leaving the show after 16 seasons.
Wow.
What? 16 seasons. They're going to start a new fashion series for Amazon. The format of that new series is still unclear, but apparently viewers will be able to buy clothes that are featured on it. But Project Runway is moving back to Bravo. It's been on Lifetime for a bit, so it's moving back to Bravo. And I guess they just decided, hey, let's do our own thing. Let's head on over to Amazon. But Variety notes that Amazon's entertainment division is making some really aggressive moves. They have a new head of their entertainment division, and they've recently signed other deals with Nicole Kidman, Jordan Peele. Pretty big names out there moving on over to Amazon. So,
well, they see the direction it's going. I mean, they see how much, you know, how much programming is coming out of Netflix, and you got to compete. And I'll tell you something, this Jack Ryan, I think, has been the most high-profile thing I think Amazon's done in a while.
And it's so good.
So good.
I'm in episode 6.
Yeah?
I think of 8. I think there's only 8, but man, it's good.
You know where
John Krasinski's good.
You know where he went to college.
I know where the fictional Jack Ryan went to college. Yes, and it is brought up in the first episode.
Is
Allie?
It?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I got a lovely tweet. I wish I could find it right now. But a woman that said, "Wow, Jack Ryan not only went to Boston College, but he's obsessed with Jeopardy. Of course, your dream man is fictional." I was like, "How dare you, ma'am? Be completely correct. Like he's my perfect guy, right?"
So good.
Oh, I got to get on that. I'm very busy, though. You guys know
sure,
that.
You got all that Halloween decorating.
All that Bobby Brown two-part series to watch, which was awesome.
And that hanger wire tree that you have in the corner that you probably have to really work on a lot.
That tree is gone. My all-season tree? Yeah, that's been gone for a while. I have a white birch tree, but thank you for asking about it.
I didn't ask about it.
Oh, no.
No, I just made a statement.
All right. Moving on. Some birthdays for you. Dancer Misty Copeland, actors Ryan Phillippe and Colin Firth. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
If you won those tickets for Florence and the Machine last week and qualified for the trip to Las Vegas to see the Life's Beautiful Festival, we'll do that grand prize drawing for you coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in K-Rock, and you'll win a free trip to Las Vegas. Plus, we'll talk about awkward boners. That's on the way. First, though, it's time for some great news. There was a huge, enormous pause.
Yeah, there's a good pause.
It couldn't have been more obvious that that's what I was waiting. Okay, forget it.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! Turns out there are some very nice people. No, I don't need it now at all, Kevin, okay. Just for the great all news right, part. Sorry. There are some very nice people in the world, and this story came out of St. Clair Shores in Michigan. Last Friday, a 75-year-old woman with her cane hobbling into a gas station. Let's find out what happened to her.
Dolores Morata approached the cashier at Citgo this past Friday requesting $3 on pump 3. Officer Todd Bing, a St. Clair Shores police officer, was standing in line behind her.
You can already see where this is going. By the way, I many times in my younger life scraped together whatever change I could get to put as much gas in the car as I had. That's all the money I had. You put, sometimes it's $1.45.
Like $1.21, please.
Yeah.
Yep. If that's all you got, that's all you got. So that's all this lady had. But fortunately, there was a guardian angel standing behind her.
And I didn't have a lot of money. I had a couple dollars and a dollar and change.
Once outside, he offered to pump her gas. She sat inside her car and thought...
It seemed like he was putting in a lot of gas because I only... told him $3.
Officer Bing had put in an extra $20. Turns out Dolores has been through a lot, struggling to make ends meet since her husband passed away a few years ago.
By the way, how sad is this? And it's just one of those instances where in a million years she never expected something like this would happen. It was just right place, right time.
Yeah.
She's been struggling to pay her property taxes, to buy groceries, to put gas in the car, you know, like I said, since her husband died. But there was, fortunately, that great man, that great police officer was standing right there.
It says God must have sent him there for me, you know.
That interaction there was kind of just had nothing to do with, for me in the moment, being a police officer. It was just a human thing.
And it turned out, by the way, that there's a viral video of this that's just gone crazy throughout the internet because the man who runs the gas station, Seth Kasuhahan, was running video on it, and he put it up on Facebook. And you can imagine people started calling and emailing and texting this guy going, hey, I want to give some money to that lady. So he decided he was going to put up a GoFundMe page, which she has now earned / raised over $21,000.
Wow.
Which is gonna fill up the tank a lot.
Right.
It's gonna go a long way toward helping her out of her situation. So how sweet is that police officer? How great was it that the gas station owner took it to the next level and got that GoFundMe going? So that's a very nice thing for a very nice lady, apparently. And that's my great news.
I love it. Well, you know that I have a very soft spot for older people. Mm-hmm. And it started when I would do what were my Christian service hours at my Catholic high school. I would go to a retirement home and do my volunteer hours there. And it changed me as a person. So any story that I see that involves a retirement home or people with dementia, anything like that, I gravitate towards those stories. And we've heard of all different things like a Seattle preschool that opened up inside of a retirement home. Huge, huge strides in the people that live there. London started hosting rave parties as a means of fighting loneliness in older people. And then years ago, there was a New York doctor that totally broke protocol and the law when he started bringing in animals and plants to a nursing home that they then would start taking care of these animals and the death rate there plummeted. Like, there are just things that can be done to change the lives of our older generations that are in these homes. But this one I had never heard of and I am so into it. This takes place at a retirement home in Sydney where two people, Liam Benson and Naomi Oliver, also known as Tacky and Paris, became full-time party attendants to the residents there. These are two drag queens. They moved in for a month. And during their stay, they did everything from teaching Zumba classes, hosted tea parties, spa days, aromatherapy sessions. And possibly one of the most heartwarming things was for the people, the residents there who were confined to their beds. They remade their whole room. So they did room makeovers for the people there as well. They also orchestrated a treasure hunt where the seniors got to help the, what they're known as the Motel Sisters, find their possessions. Nope.
What?
Why are you playing that?
Motel Sisters?
Yes. Motel Sisters. That's the name of their drag queen.
Right.
Nope. They had to find their possessions after an imagined night out. How fun would that be? People that are just stuck and maybe don't have many visitors to then have a party essentially come to you.
They moved
for a whole
in
month.
For a month.
They moved
That's
in
crazy.
For the month.
Are we sure they just weren't homeless?
No, this is all done through a arts nonprofit program. But according to the clinical care manager of the home, their performers had an incredible impact. There was less agitation and wandering among those with dementia. So many more fewer calls that were logged that might have normally increased people's medication. So they seemed to just really enjoy their time there. And Tacky told ABC Radio Sydney, "We understand that popping a couple of drag queens into your everyday environment for some people can be a little bit discombobulating. So there was caution taken right from the beginning. We were sensitive to people's needs and people's perceptions." So, I mean, how fun would that be? Drag queens teaching you Zumba. I am so in. And that's my great news.
Mine comes out of San Francisco, but I think the father and daughter live in Los Angeles. Now, Danny Thompson had a heart attack.
Oh.
And then he recovered from it. And he said, "You know what? I have a bucket list of things that I've never accomplished. Mm-hmm. And now that I have a heart attack, everything's been put a little bit more into perspective. So I am going to do the one thing that I want to do, and that's to travel around the country, go to every major league ballpark.
Oh, wow.
And watch a baseball game."
Okay.
That was his dream, and that's what he did this summer with his daughter, Emily. And this is Emily.
"I've loved baseball all my life.
All my life he's talked about this. This has been his dream. This wasn't my dream."
Now, I love that. No. I love that because she comes out immediately and says, "Look, it's baseball." Right?
I don't know.
How dull, right?
Well,
that's what she's saying. How dull.
I don't know if she's just saying it's not her dream.
She wasn't a fan necessarily,
okay. But
she went with her dad
all
the way around from ballpark to ballpark to ballpark
nice. Just
to bond with him and to spend time with him.
I love it.
And even though she wasn't a huge fan of baseball, she did that for her dad.
"I was trying to find a way to connect with him just because we didn't really have much. So I thought, baseball I can do. My main goal was just to spend time with him."
"She's very patient, being able to put up with me. It was just a good bonding experience. Come on, Giants!"
Oh, he's a Giants fan. My bad. My bad.
I mean,
that's not great news.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Is my microphone on?
Nope.
Nope. Sure isn't.
Did your
mic just die?
Hello. There we go.
Whoa.
I like it. No, let's keep that full time.
Let's not do
it. No, let's totally do it. All right. I think that's good.
What happened?
Don't know.
This place has fallen apart, you guys.
I don't know. Yeah. That was odd.
You know, we move in 2 weeks, and there's just no maintenance going on anymore. They're just letting this place, we're just riding this place till it dies.
Literally, Chip's just rebuilding stuff as we go.
If you Google awkward boners, as I just did, you'll be disappointed to know I have a Google alert on it. You'll be disappointed to know that there is no band called Awkward Boners, because there certainly should be.
Yeah.
But one of the first things, there's a whole list of things that come up for awkward boners, including this list from just a couple of months ago at Thought Catalog. "At my uncle's funeral, my cousin looks really hot when she's crying. Yes, I'm going to hell," he writes in.
Ew.
"While giving a presentation in eighth grade on Auschwitz in sweatpants."
Okay.
"I got points off that presentation for facing the board the entire time, but it was certainly better than the alternative."
Ew, more like ow sweats, right? Sorry.
Way to kill the room, man.
Yeah. Go ahead and file that.
"Whilst my wife was giving birth to our firstborn."
This man writes in, it still gets to me today. I know, right? But here's the thing, and Omar, I see the horror in your face because there's nothing less sexy than a baby being born.
No sexy.
There's no rhyme or reason, particularly for people of a certain age, for boners. There's just there's no explaining it. It just happens. It can happen with a thought. It can happen without a thought. It can happen with the wind. It can happen without the wind. It can happen anywhere at any time. And the more inconvenient, the more likely it is to happen.
Yeah, it would happen to me every morning on the bus.
No.
Every morning on the bus. Every morning. I don't know. It's something about the bumps or something. And boop. I would wake up, and then I would have to put, like, my bag, kind of like, you know, I'm holding it in front of me when I'm walking out of the bus.
How old were you?
To, like, settle down. Freshman.
Freshman year in high school.
Freshman year in high school. So prime time, boner time, all the time.
Boner.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're going to be taking your calls here on your awkward boner experiences. I mean, especially if, like, if you're at a funeral, man, that's the best, right?
I mean,
right?
I don't feel, yeah, I do feel like that may be the most awkward.
The most extreme, yeah. Right? But we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your stories of your awkward boners. Is that your only one? Is just all of high school?
Just all of high school.
Just all 4 years.
Like, you're not kidding. The wind blows a certain direction. Ba-bang. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Awkward boners. Boner. How about you, Muggsy?
Was my mic? Oh, it's on. I was on the flight to Hawaii when Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates sent me out there to do the extra thing.
Oh, and Beerbug casually mentions the major Hollywood movie that he was in.
Best thing I've ever done.
Let me just drop my movie.
And I was sitting in, it was like a 767, one of the planes that have the middle rows with like five seats. I was sitting in the middle of an entire family. And not like Omar's where it's like caused by the wind or arousal. This was a pee boner. And
what?
Yes. This is what's called.
Is that a thing?
Yes. And I had to go to the restroom, and I was wearing very stretchy, fabric-y pants. And
we call them sweats, Mugs.
They're not sweats. They were like stretch khakis. So they weren't sweats. But
what color?
They were khaki.
Khaki. Okay. Yes. Did you wear a belt or no belt?
It was a size 38 black leather belt.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
And I got up, and I didn't have anything to do, but I have a maneuver that I tuck.
What's
tucking?
Not positive, but I don't like
in
it.
In my waistband, so it's not protruding. So I had it because I had to literally get up and cross an entire family.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Type of
it works.
Boner.
It's the waistband.
Not the waistband. I've never heard of that type of boner.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
If pee boners happen to you, call us now. 1-800.
No. Unless it was a super awkward, then yes, we want your calls.
But
does Birma get the awkward boner jingle?
Oh, absolutely.
Boner. So it still counts, even if it's pee boner.
Sure.
You know what? I just looked up the 18 kinds of boners guys experience. Number one is the pee boner.
What?
This is a fake-out boner that really just happens when you really, really, really have to pee and goes away right after. Like stepping on a garden hose.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
That's what happened.
Never heard of it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Very awkward.
1-800-520-1067. Here's another from the list. My wife's grandfather had committed suicide, and she had just gotten the news, and she was crying with her head on my lap and moved just right. Oh, that's the worst. I was 13 years old. Puberty was giving me the works. Random boners at all. Swim carnival. Entire school staring at me and five other kids. I'm wearing a Speedo. Turns out there's not much you can do to hide that. Mm. Yeah, if you got a Speedo, you're in trouble. I was at the chiropractor while getting my back adjusted. Then it was time to flip over to get my neck adjusted. It wasn't ideal.
Hey, adjust this.
All right, let's squeeze in our first call. I'm sure we'll get plenty on this topper. Awkward boners is what we're looking for. Pico Rivera, we go to Rudy first. He's up on line three, please.
All right. Hey, Rudy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay, so I was the range safety officer at a range in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, getting ready to – I was briefing my unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
Right?
We're getting ready to conduct gunnery with our 50 caliber electronic.
Yeah, right. Gunnery.
I like that you call it gunnery.
That's what it's called.
Right.
So we're out there in North Carolina, and I'm pretty much in charge of the entire range. You know, it's worth a lot of money and time and everything. And luckily, I had my range book with me, my clipboard and a whole bunch of stuff. Plus, I was wearing my helmet, body armor, and, you know, just everything that kind of just helped me to hide it. But
sure, sure.
I had to be careful. I had to be careful to not walk around too much and rub it on the front plate of the body armor and stuff.
Yeah, I love your your helmet, though. That's great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rudy.
It's really weird.
Appreciate the call. Forget awkward, but that was an awkward conversation.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Your story is next.
Hey, you should listen to Kevin and Bean in the mornings. Remember that one time Kevin got a vasectomy? Check this out.
So I go in, and they make me put on a little robe. And he has an assistant, and they, you know, get ready.
What guy or girl? What's
girl?
Your
yeah.
Miss, Miss Sweden 91?
Yeah, she's cute. All right, so anyway.
Wasn't that part of your fear? That's why one of the reasons you didn't want to do a show with the vasectomy is you were worried about, you know, we'd be sending out hot chicks. And here you are trying to stay calm.
I can honestly say that this is the first time in my life
there was a hot chick around.
And I was too scared to even think about
it. Wow, that is serious.
I really was petrified. I was just sitting there. I was like starting to sweat.
So it's not even like you were trying to talk it down.
No. No.
Please, not now. Please, not now. Please, not now. Please, not now.
No, because I was too scared. I was too afraid of what was just about to happen. And then they pull up the little table, and they start uncovering all the prehistoric tools. And the guy says, this is going to be the worst part of it. And I'm laying back. So he said, fine. He pulls out a needle that was probably 75 feet long.
Just ahead of Blink-182, let's take one phone call. Let's make it John from Huntington Park. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We are good.
When you woke up this morning, you did not think you would be making a phone call to discuss an erection.
No, not really.
All right. What's your awkward boner story?
All right. So me and the missus were down in Mexico, and we did a couples massage, and it was really good. Rolled over. Lady did the front side. The sheet was just tucked over my junk.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that. Does it just go unmentioned? Do you not say anything? Does she not say anything?
Oh, no, she kept lifting up the sheet because I had fallen asleep and had the morning wood.
Oh.
I mean, I imagine the masseur or masseuse, whichever is accurate, is used to it. I imagine that's extremely common in that work. But I guess my question is, what did your wife have to say about it?
She wasn't happy. She banned me from getting a massage.
She banned you.
I had to put on my bathrobe and walk to the men's locker room, and the attendant was like, hey, just so you know, you're sticking out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I mean, John, how big is it?
John's making the rounds. Right.
Everyone in Mexico
is pretty big.
His penis is on tour.
All right. Well, welcome to vacation. Thank you for calling, sir. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
If the boner police are here, I demand a lawyer.
We'll talk to you right after Blink on K-Rock. Hey, Kevin and Bean Miguel here from Los Angeles. In seventh grade, when we would recite the Pledge of Allegiance, I would get an awkward boner every single time. Nothing to apologize there for, Miguel. You just love America.
Right. Too much.
From the 909, my awkward boner moment was during my
wedding
baptism.
Oh, worse.
Wait.
Baptism. He must have been baptized as an adult, obviously.
I would think.
The church only
no, like
had
a 1 year old.
The church only had about 2,000 members.
Oh, no.
2001, it sounds like to me in that church, right?
I'm in a boner.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Randy in Fullerton. I didn't expect this call at all today. Let's find out what happened.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Awkward boners is the topic.
Yeah, when I was about 23, I was up in Big Bear at a cabin up there cutting some firewood with a chainsaw. And as I was cutting, I was getting a little tired. I stood up, and I just kind of rested the chainsaw across my lap. Instant boner, and loaded in about 3 seconds.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I don't think he should repeat it. Okay. Get it.
I think I'm glad I missed it.
Yes.
Were you chainsawing with other people, and it was pretty evident what was happening?
Well, yeah, I was cutting firewood with a buddy of mine for the cabin, and basically, instant boner, and it was over real quick. And
okay,
and
say right. No more. Okay,
no
more.
All right.
All right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of wood up
okay,
there,
yep.
Big Bear.
Sure.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. We lost you. Okay. Let's do Steven in Irvine. He's on line three. This sounds like the worst because he's got a boner, and then he is forced to be in front of a bunch of people. Steven, what happened? This must be one of your worst memories from school.
Or best.
It was awkward. Luckily, I had a younger male teacher, but, you know, randomly they'll pick people to get up in front of the class and do math problems. I was decent at math. Said, Steven, why don't you come up? And I said, I don't know how to do this. He laughed. He's like, you absolutely know how to do it. So I don't feel like standing up. I can't get up. And he kind of looked at me, and I kind of gently nodded to my crotch. I'm like, it's not a good time. And the guys kind of started laughing. The girls had no idea what was going on. And, you know, we were like 16. And he goes, okay. And then he literally picked a girl right after that.
He should have stuck. If he was funny, he would have stuck with you.
Yeah. I would have been able to point out different things on the board, I'm sure. But anyways,
I hope to do you a favor. He picked a rather homely girl, too, by the way. Because it wouldn't have helped you if he picked the absolute hottie in the class.
He probably would have taken out the entire male population of the class and doing that problem afterwards. Exactly. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for playing all the small things, by the way, after boner talk.
Oh, yeah, very interesting. Well done, we didn't even
Steven.
Notice that. Thank
of
you
course
so
we did.
Much.
We planned it because it was funny.
Mm-hmm. Sure we did.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's go to Jonathan Pasadena, line 7. We were talking about that that baptism. I think he's got a church-related story as well.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. So I was about 15 or 16, and there was this particular girl that would be helping out with communion.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we'd have to get up in front of the church, I'd, for whatever reason, get this boner without control. And imagine trying to walk up in front of a few hundred people during the middle of service, trying to get communion, and you're awkwardly trying to walk in a funny way or try to put your hands in a funny way to like hide this boner. Not ideal. Not ideal.
And it kind of takes away from the blood and the flesh of Jesus that you're receiving as well, too. It's just
a little bit.
Just
a little bit.
It's not a fit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. I'm going to sin a little bit while I'm going to take the body and blood of Christ.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Larry Laverne, line 2. Now, he's on in Beer Mugs Camp with the P-Boner.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, morning, guys. How's
morning.
It going?
Good. Thank you.
What happened?
So, 2 years ago, I was on my way to Vegas. And we were flying to Vegas, and I was sitting near the window, and as I'm sitting there, I'm kind of tired. I'm like, man, I got to go pee, and I was like kind of feeling uncomfortable, but I'm not really paying attention. So as the plane lands, we go to get up, and as I stand up and start to walk out, I mean, I've got this rager just poking out of the right side.
Yes.
And I'm wearing like swim trunks, so it was nighttime. We're going to Vegas. It was late, so I'm just walking out. And everybody's looking at me, and I'm like, what in the world? Did I drop something?
Oh, you didn't even know?
No, I didn't realize it was showing that much.
Ah.
And so as we start to walk out, I have to do that, like, looking for my chapstick move, you know, when I realize what's going on. I'm like, hey, where'd I leave my keys, man?
Are you sure they weren't just looking at the jackhole who was flying in a swimsuit? I mean, seriously, who gets on a plane in a bathing suit, though?
It's Vegas.
Come on.
I was ready for Vegas before I even got to Vegas.
Sounds like it. All right, thank you for the call. Let's just do one more. Let's make it Steven, Huntington Beach, line 5, our final call on Awkward Boners.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so Huntington Beach, this is about 2 years ago, and I believe it was during the time of our famous U.S. Open.
Sure.
So, yeah, a lot of girls, a lot of women walking around, and I can just remember just, I don't know, taking in the beautiful sights and started having some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I'm popping one. And then, of course, as you're popping one and you're in front of everyone, you kind of got to do that awkward, you know, shift it and move it and get it back up.
It's pretty obvious, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious when you start moving that area. But then I had a quick thought, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm at the beach. Get in the water. So I
smart.
Just, Yeah, so I pretty much just got in the water. Clean thoughts. I started thinking about other things, and it was not working at all.
Look, that's impossible at Huntington Beach, especially at the U.S. Open of surfing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're gonna allow that awkward boner.
Right, that's acceptable. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the DirecTV Red Zone joins us just after 8 a.m. We'll be talking football, and then we'll be opening up the phones for you if you want to win tickets to go to this Ohana Festival that is happening at Doheny State Beach at the end of September. Kevin, you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah,
this is an amazing lineup.
It's listener-oki, so you can pick Eddie Vedder or Mumford & Sons or Yeah Yeah Yeahs or Young the Giant. There are a lot of bands there, and it's a great festival. Mm-hmm. So you pick whoever is playing that you want to pick. You pick whatever song you want to pick from them. And then you call, and it's all about your performance. Mm. We pick one.
I am going to call in, and I'm going to ukulele it up with an Eddie Vedder song.
I love it.
Please
try and stop me.
Please do.
So Eddie or Yeah Yeah Yeahs or Becca, whoever it is on the Ohana Festival lineup, you sing their song, and somebody wins tickets to a 3-day festival at Doheny, September 28th through the 30th. That'll be in about 25 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Monday, Allie is back. It's time for What's Happening.
What's happening is Cardi B and Nicki Minaj are beefing.
Oh, this was something.
It happened on Friday night during the Harper's Bazaar Icons event at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. They're dressed up. They're wearing ball gowns. But that didn't stop Cardi B from going after Nicki Minaj for what she deems as disrespect. And according to people, they thought it was because Nicki allegedly liked a tweet that said, the message that she's sending as a mother to a baby girl by supporting a rapist is unsettling and uncomfortable to me. That was a response to Cardi welcoming Kodak Black home from jail. So somebody tweeted that Nicki Minaj liked it, and that did not sit well with Cardi B. So she approached the area where Nicki was located to, quote, address the lies Nicki was spreading. And videos that have surfaced, Cardi's seen lunging at Nicki, yelling, like some S about my kid again, bitch. Keep effing playing with me. And then she chucked her shoe at Nicki Minaj. But she missed, and then Cardi was escorted from the building by security wearing only one shoe, and she had a big old knot on her forehead. Wow. And they say that's because one of Nicki's security guards might have elbowed her in the scuffle. But not a good situation.
No.
But somebody said on Twitter, I want to get to that level of fame where I could just leave with one shoe and things are cool. Like, I don't have to go back for that shoe. Just that's it. I just have one shoe now. So, Cardi...
Do you think there's more to it? Sorry to interrupt, but do you think there's more to it than just the liked social media post? Because they are both kind of vying to be the queen in that area,
yes,
right?
Well, Cardi B took to social media to explain her side. And apparently she said she's let a lot of S slide. I let you sneak diss me. I let you lie on me. I let you attempt to stop my bags, F up the way I eat. You've threatened other artists in the industry and told them if they work with me, you'll stop effing with them. So she's saying that this is a lot of stuff that Nicki has done behind the scenes that she has addressed with her not once but twice in person. And Nicki always has an answer for it. And then this third time was just, that was it. She was not having it. But while those two are beefing, I have a squashed beef for you.
Oh, all right.
So this is pretty good. Drake and Meek Mill have had quite the history together, and it all started in, like, 2015.
I was going to say for years.
Yeah, Meek Mill said that Drake had a ghostwriter, then Drake came back with, like, two different diss tracks, then Meek Mill had a diss track, then Meek Mill went to jail, and it seemed like that was it for a bit. Well, their beef is officially squashed on Saturday night in Boston. Drake brought out Meek Mill to perform a song.
Is that right?
Yes.
At the show.
Yeah. And he
said, it's one thing to not be mad at each other, but to bring him out on stage.
Yeah, it's pretty big. He said, I want to say something right now. This right here is a long time coming. This right here is important. This is one of my favorite rappers for real. We need more peace in the world. We need more love in the world. Meek Mill, that's my brother. That's my end from day one. So squash the beef right there on stage. And if there is any city that is very accepting of two black men. It is Boston, Massachusetts. I just think that's pretty interesting, though. You're right. Not only squash it, like put out a tweet, whatever, you right. brought him on stage to do a song?
That's a whole different level.
Whole different level.
Well, now we have to get Kanye and Drake back together, right?
I feel like we do. We need to get everyone back on board. Is that a beef?
Is that
Kanye
what we
and Drake?
Do?
Yeah, that's a beef.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Look, we can only take care of one thing at a time,
right? Right. For God's sake.
Why is Drake beefing with everyone?
I don't know.
Seriously. All right. Well, you guys, if you were thinking to yourself after Burt Reynolds passed away, God, if there's only way for me to see the 1977 hit Smokey and the Bandit on the big screen, you are in luck, because Smokey and the Bandit will play at 240 AMC locations starting on Wednesday for a 9-day run. So tickets are going to be on sale for $5 or lower, depending on the theater. You think that movie holds up?
I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. Yeah. I mean, I haven't, I may never have seen it, but very few of those kind of movies from the 70s do hold up.
Yeah. By the way, that movie was made with a budget of $4 million, and it turned out to be one of the most successful movies of his career, grossing $126
million.
Wow. So he did all right. They made some money back on that.
Jeez.
Crazy, right? Mm. I just don't know who's going to see Smokey and the Bandit in a theater.
Who's got time?
You haven't even seen The Meg.
Right?
You don't even know what's happening with you, Kevin.
I'm doing the best I can.
It's very strange.
I'm a busy guy.
That does make us furious, Kevin.
I have a lot of stuff going on.
We are very upset.
I can tell.
Some birthdays for you. Colin Firth, Misty Copeland, and Ryan Phillippe, and that's what's happening.
That guy right there was on my TV yesterday in my house.
Right.
And now here he is in the K-Rock studio, the host of NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Andrew Siciliano is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Happy football.
Welcome back.
Good to see you.
Season 14 kicked off yesterday of the Red Zone?
Yes, sir.
It looked pretty fancy. Did you guys upgrade some of your optics?
They gave me a new suit. That's about
okay.
it.
A new yeah. suit. Okay.
New suit. I had shiny shoes.
All right.
They were brand new.
Okay.
Same set.
You did
same
get
set.
Right back into the groove, yeah. Man. It, was good, it doesn't though. Seem like you lose back. A step, you know?
So. Well, that was rusty. Honestly, I was horrifically rusty the first 30 minutes.
Please.
No, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, I know.
I'm being dead serious.
Compare your rusty to my best. And you win.
Look, I know you guys did that bit. You can come in and do it one of these days. I welcome you to
I
come
welcome
in and
you
do
too.
It. And then I'll come in and talk about rap beefs between whoever the heck you guys are talking about.
Meek Mill and Drake.
Meek Mill, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Meek Mill. I never heard of Meek Mill before the Eagles. But
well, Andrew, we have a so many storylines. This is the reason why people love the NFL, is that there are so many storylines, and you know, any given Sunday, it sounds like a cliche, but you could never have predicted the craziness that happened yesterday. And I don't even know where you want to start, but why don't we start with your beloved Cleveland Browns?
Can I get a stat for you?
Come on,
okay,
guys.
So they didn't lose. I saw Kevin. You tweeted at me. I said they didn't lose.
Uh-huh.
Right. Let me give you a stat. I'm gonna. Can I go to my phone, Kevin?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Because I know that's.
Cleveland
darn it,
Browns.
Where'd it go?
And while you're scrolling for it, please explain why they allow ties in football.
They allow ties. So I'm just going to make this up.
Okay.
It's something like this. Teams that force 5 or more turnovers, and the Browns turned the Steelers over 6 times.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
Okay. Teams that force 5 or more turnovers in that last how many of years are like 134-4-1.
Okay.
Okay. The Browns
This was bad then.
134-4-1. The Browns account for 2 of the losses and now the tie.
Oh my God.
That's
hard
a very
it is to do.
That's a very Browns way to
you know,
do that.
Hard. And here's the other thing that makes it so painful. Yes, they didn't lose, and they are off to their best start since 2004. Let's not sugarcoat it here. Let's spin the stat. Hey, it's all about spinning stats, right? They do lie. Off to their best start since 2004. The guy that gave up the blocked field goal at the end, the guy that got blowed up, if you will, by T.J. Watt, brother of J.J., is their best offensive lineman.
Oh,
like,
man.
He's a perennial Pro Bowler. And he was on ice skates. And he just got shoved all the way back into the kicker. And
that doesn't seem ideal.
It was not ideal. And they found a way to tie.
Mm.
Yeah.
And still sort of fail.
And still very much fail.
Why ties? Did you answer that and I missed it?
Well, I think part of it is a safety thing.
Because of the players getting too tired and injured?
Yeah. I mean, overtime used to be 15 full minutes. Now it's down to 10.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, do you really want them to keep playing another quarter? They do it in the playoffs. You have to have a winner.
Right.
So in the playoffs, they're going to go all night if they have to.
But that does make sense as far as keeping them safe. It's just an annoying thing in all sports that allow ties.
Well, the most famous tie in recent memory was when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback of the Eagles and they tied a game. And he said afterwards, and some people thought he was joking, I didn't know we had ties.
Yeah. Well,
you're the quarterback of the team.
It really doesn't happen that much in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
It rarely does.
All right, so Rams are tonight. They're a team a lot of people have a lot of expectations for, maybe even Super Bowl bound. We'll see. People were also pretty optimistic about the Chargers this year, and they had a lot going for them, including 5,500 yards of offense in the game, but still figured out a way to lose. What went wrong there?
Listen, I want to be something other than snarky about the Chargers.
Okay.
Because I was snarky all year long last year. They don't have a kicker. They find new and ever more creative ways to lose games. But then yesterday they come out and do this yet again. And they did miss a kick. Granted, they made a couple before they finally missed one in the fourth quarter. But it's, first of all, where are the Charger fans? I mean, that building was red.
It was all red.
It's opening day and the team could, I mean, the team should be a playoff team.
Yes.
Go to the game.
And I went to a different game there. It's at StubHub, and it is always 50% the other team.
Well, most of their fans still live 120 miles away. That's where the
issue. But we were told that half of the season ticket owners were from Orange County. That's not true?
No, Orange County is one thing.
Okay.
And Orange County to Carson, that's easy.
Right.
They're not. I don't think they're up here. They're not on the west side.
Okay.
At all. I don't believe so. Right. But you're right. The Orange County fans should be there. And here's my other thing. When we got football back here, the NFL back here, the one thing that a lot of people said that knew the market, that knew buying patterns, is that we have SC, we have UCLA, we have the Rams, we have the Chargers. There's only so many football dollars to be spent on a weekend. So many full days that you want to commit to a game. But SC was out of town.
Right.
UCLA was out of town. The Rams are out of town. The Chargers
only game in town.
The only game in town. And yeah, Tyreek Hill's really good. Patrick Mahomes
is
awesome.
Let's talk about Tyreek Hill just for a minute, though. Tyreek Hill is the fastest human I've ever seen.
He's the fastest human of the NFL, period. No one's close. Well,
I mean, it does look like he
may be close.
It does look like he gets into a zone of speed that no one else can even get close to matching.
And he has a quarterback now in Patrick Mahomes, who is like he's a millennial. He's like a video game. I mean, he has an arm. His dad was a big league pitcher. His dad was at the game yesterday. He can throw the ball. I mean, he would have been a 100-mile-an-hour pitcher.
So did the Chargers lose that game, or are the Chiefs just that much better?
So the Chiefs loves to do this. I mean, they like to win 10 games in a row and score all these points and then get to the playoffs and be conservative and lose. For now, the Chiefs look amazing, but we've said this before week one.
Right.
The Chargers will still have a good season, but yesterday was just a kick in the gut if you're a Charger fan, because it's exactly what you thought you would avoid week one.
Let's talk Andrew Siciliano here from the NFL Network's Up to the Minute program, the DirecTV Red Zone channel, which, by the way, you got a chance to see for free yesterday.
Yeah,
I hope y'all will subscribe for the rest of the season. Let's talk about the most remarkable game of the weekend for me, and talk about a tale of two halves. And I know, you know where I'm going with this. Green Bay over Chicago. Couldn't have been. It was like watching two completely different games, wasn't it?
So there are some who believe, Randall Cobb included, who caught that long touchdown, that was Aaron Rodgers' defining career moment.
He's had a lot of
He's had many of them. He has won that championship thing with the silver trophy.
Right.
Right? But
he was hurt.
They think that was his defining moment. Like Brett Favre throwing the 5 touchdowns after his dad died on Monday night. Remember that game years ago?
Sure.
That this was his moment. They're down 20-0. He's got one leg.
20-0
in the third quarter.
In the third.
Yes.
They carted him off. At that point, not only do you not think he is playing, you think the season's over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were saying that the season is probably over for him.
And then he pulled a Paul Pierce and they brought him out on the wheelchair.
Oh, no.
I think he actually walked out on
his
own.
He walked out, I'm sorry. And then he won.
And by the way, it was noticeably limping. Like, he was not better.
He's
so
dragging
he wasn't
his leg.
Faking it? Because, come on.
You think
he was
faking it?
Something.
Is that the Celtic fan in you?
How does he then... after it was supposedly, what, his ankle or something?
It was his knee.
His knee. Yeah. You don't just all of a sudden come back and just start playing the game of your life.
Have you not seen Karate Kid?
Oh, he had some wax on, wax off happening in there?
Yeah.
All right.
And then he did it, and then, look, but there's a flip side to it. The Bears had how many third and ones where they got all cute, right? They did kill 7 minutes on that drive.
Right.
But then they dropped the interception.
They gave Green Bay an opportunity to do what Green Bay did.
They took it. They did. And they blew it. And the Packers won.
John Gruden was thinking what watching that first half with Khalil Mack for the Bears?
Okay. So can we just get this out of the way for Raider fans? They don't need to be reminded. It was as bad a personnel move that I have seen in a decade in the NFL.
Wow. And you expressed that at the moment the trade happened. You couldn't believe that they had traded him away.
What are you doing? Oh, we don't want to pay him. Did you see that guy in the first half last night?
Sure.
He's underpaid.
Yep, agreed.
And how do you, and I'm not suggesting the Raiders are going to roll over and the Rams are going to steamroll him by 50 tonight, but nothing would shock me. But how is there a chance that you lose your team before you even coach a game?
Oop. I mean, I'm sure there is.
I mean, yeah, everyone in that Raiders locker room is looking at coach going, hey, thanks for trading away what could have been a tremendous asset for us this season.
But the way it's set up, where not only do you think it's a bad move in all likelihood if you're in that locker room, but then you're at home last night because you're playing Monday night.
Right.
And you're watching what happens.
In the first half alone.
Yeah, there were a lot of texts flying back and forth between those players.
I mean, And let's look at it and say, well, they got two first round picks. What's the chance one of them is 70% as good as Khalil Mack?
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
That's exactly the way to
look at it. One of them.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
I mean,
what time are you on up to the minute today, Andrew?
Today is no up to the minute.
Oh. All right.
Off today.
Oh,
Rosh Hashanah. Okay. I'm actually going to go to the Rams game. Going to go to services, then go to the Rams game. Yeah.
Oh, right. What a fun
nothing
day.
Nothing says Happy New Year more than the black hole.
and nothing says making football accessible to everybody like a 10:20 p.m. East Coast start time for that game, by the way.
That's what we do now on the Monday night for week one. We have an 10:20. East Coast.
10:20.
Yes, you can watch the Lions and Sam Darnold earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold being thrown to the Lions, and then you can watch the Rams game late.
All right. So great to have you back. So great to have football back. I hope we'll be able to keep in touch throughout the season. You know, we
absolutely
love you. Thank you, Andrew. All right, we need to open up these phones. 1-800-520-1067. Andrew, this seems like the kind of event you might like, actually.
What's that?
The Ohana Festival at Doheny, coming up at the end of September. Ooh. This is Eddie Vedder, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Mumford & Sons, Beck, Young the Giant, Nora Jones, Johnny Marr, many, many more. We're giving away tickets with a game that we like to call Listeneroki. So this is where the Kevin B. listeners call up and they can sing any song from any of the acts on the bill for the Ohana Festival.
But it's more than singing. It needs to be performing, people.
Yeah, bring it.
Yes.
Really bring it.
Yeah, bring it. Andrew, you sing at all?
No.
No. So 1-800
but I'll take the tickets if you want.
1-800-520-1067. Any act on the bill at the Ohana Festival, somebody's going to win those tickets right after this on Cape. Let's give away some Ohana Festival tickets. It's time for Listeneroki. Hit it, Steve.
Listeneroki, Listeneroki. That's the game we're going to play. Listeneroki, Listeneroki.
All right, so here's the deal. Nora Jones and Eddie Vedder, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Mumford & Sons, Beck, Young the Giant, many more. Passes available at ohanafest.com. It's coming to Doheny September 28th through the 30th. This is a great festival. Fun time down there at the beach. So we're looking for you to sing a song from any of the bands on the bill. Why don't we start with, predictively, we do have some Pearl Jam fans. Huh. Why don't we start with, yes, you were going to say?
No, I was going to say, huh.
Huh. Let's start with Jason, line one. He's, if I'm reading this correctly, he has chosen a very difficult song to sing.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
You're going to do a Pearl Jam number for us. What is it?
I'll do Black. I'm a huge fan of Eddie Vedder. Love him.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, if you're a huge fan, then you know that you will sound nowhere near as good as he does, but we are looking forward to hearing it.
All right, cool. You ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I take a walk outside. I'm surrounded by funk in the play. I can feel their laughter. So what do I say? Oh,
right. Okay. Very good. Very good.
That's
thank
not
you.
Terrible.
All right. Thank you. It's all very right. Crash Test Dummies. I'm sorry. But thank you for that. Let's go to line five, please. This is going to be Kevin. He is in Chino. Hey, Kevin. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing today?
We are good. Thank you. We're doing Listener Roki. What are you going to sing?
I was thinking about doing a Little Lion Man in the Spirit of the Festival by Mumford and Sons.
All right.
Mumford and Sons. Okay.
Okay.
And here's Kevin.
Okay. Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man. You're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and wreck yourself. Take all the courage you have left.
Okay, I think that's a good place to end it.
I mean, you're right, taking your sweet time, but okay.
Yeah, I think we got it. All right.
Can I go with the pace here?
Nope.
Okay, thank you, though. Well done. All right, let's try Sarah. Please, line six. She's in Whittier. She's got a good one for
good
us,
morning,
too.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. I would say it's a wide-open competition at this point. It's anyone's to win. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Maps by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
All right, ooh, fantastic.
Good song.
Awesome. All right. Back up, I'm straight. Oh, no. Oh, say, I'll say. Oh, say, I'll say. Wait, they don't love you like I love you. Wait, okay. Well, they don't love you like I love you.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay. I don't know if you were listening earlier to our awkward boners discussion, but it just came back into my mind. Just saying, thank you for the call. Brandy, Bel Air Line 8, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Giving away tickets to Ohana Festival.
Hey, Brandy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. What are we so excited about here today? What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Last Kiss.
All right.
Oh, Pearl Jam. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. And where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've got to be good. So I can see my baby when I leave this world.
All right. That, by the way.
All right.
Wow. That's a very peppy rendition of a very sad song about somebody who dies in a car accident.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I was wondering how Brandy was going to do Last Kiss, but I liked it.
Yeah, she turned it into a celebration of death. All right, one more. Let's make it Lauren in Long Beach, please, line three. Let's find out what she wants to sing for Ohana Fest X.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What are you going to sing?
Sunrise, Nora Jones.
All right.
Ooh, great song, great artist. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Sunrise. Looks like morning in your eyes. But the clock says 9:54. Sunrise. Couldn't tempt us if they tried. Cause the afternoon's already come and gone.
All right. Stop right there. All right. Thank you, Lauren. Wow. Hang on. Hang on. All right.
Stop
hang on.
We got right there, Bean Jelly.
No. It's very good. But we have to have a sidebar here. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. Secret time. All right. Here's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Lauren sounded the most like the actual person. That was very Nora Jones-esque.
Right.
I got to give her some points for that.
Right.
But I think that I enjoyed Brandy's Pearl Jam Last Kiss the most out of all of them.
She's my easy winner as well.
She's your easy winner. Okay. Yep. Even though it was a completely inappropriate interpretation of that song.
Hey, it was her own, man.
I still think I liked it, and I would not be unhappy for Brandy. How about you, Allie?
I'm with you guys.
All right. Let's Brandy it up.
Brandy! Congratulations.
Ohana Fest, O'Haney, September 28th through the 30th, ohanafest.com to buy your tickets. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Bean.
Listen to Roki, listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki, listen to Roki. You thought them were lame.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
By the way, if you forgive me for stealing 10 seconds of your time, Allie, it occurred to me that there may be some people from Friday's show who have somehow gotten the Baby Shark song out of their heads.
Oh,
like
you.
They're not thinking about it anymore.
You're a terrible human
you're
being.
You're awful.
So, I mean, I feel like...
Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Baby
shake. Just want to refresh that in your memory in case you forgot what I'm doing for you there as a favor. 8:55, time for another look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Did you see that viral picture over the weekend? It was those lyrics on a guy's arm. It said, got wasted, woke up with this. What do I do? Like, you got that tattoo.
You
got
to cut off the arm.
You really have to. Absolutely concerning. Hey, Bean alerted me to something that, quite frankly, I'm so sorry. I'm just bringing to your attention now.
Okay.
How about a free glazed donut from Randy's Donuts? What?
All right.
Yes. In honor and celebration of them opening their third location, of course, we all know the one on Manchester Boulevard, huge donut, see it from the 405. There's also a kiosk at the Westfield Century City Mall, and now a new location featuring indoor-outdoor seating, expanded menu, including breakfast sandwiches made with donuts, savory fillings, and more.
All right.
That one is opening up, and we can get a free glazed donut today until 2 p.m. at that location. It is the Apollo Landing at 2181 Rosecrans Avenue in El Segundo. So just in case you leave your wallet, you get a free
donut. You couldn't resist.
I couldn't.
You can't see El Segundo and not think.
No.
Wallet. Okay.
But it's okay because you're going to get a free glazed donut.
They don't even need your wallet.
That's what I'm saying.
That's her point, I think.
So
if you lose your wallet, right. You still can get a donut.
That's right. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I'll allow it.
Enjoy that.
How are they glazed?
I don't even know why you would ask that and think there would be a pervy answer. You're weird.
Radiant Derf.
No.
Don't blame Radiant Derf on that.
Right?
That's all Bean Derf. Well, if you were like Kevin and saw The Nun this weekend, you were not alone because it was the second biggest September debut of all time in North America. $53.5 million. Securing them the number one spot at the box office, followed by Crazy Rich Asians, followed then by Jennifer Garner's new movie, Peppermint, coming in at 3, and then The Meg, which Kevin still
stop
hasn't
bringing it up.
Seen. We don't get it, Kevin. You're not who we
I'm
think
a busy
you
dude.
Are. Okay.
I'm a
if
busy.
Your name really is Kevin, right?
That's what I'm saying. What do you think? It does it have to do with Radiant Turf?
Maybe.
The people who need to know. No.
Oh, see.
Did you guys see Lady Gaga's Radeon Derf tweet over the weekend?
No.
Well, yeah, our listeners
it was a lot.
Our listeners are trying to decide whether she's the cult leader or she's just following you as the cult leader.
Right.
But it was Radeon Derf-esque, man. It went on for like 50 letters.
Sweet. Yeah, she sat on something. That was definitely a butt tweet because it was the whole thing.
Yeah, none of it made any sense.
That's a talented butt.
Yeah, I do like that you're pretending that you didn't see it, Kevin.
I didn't see
it.
Right.
To people who need to know.
He's a cult leader, you guys.
Yep, he sure is.
All right, The Meg came in at fourth place. Rounding out the top five was Searching, which I can't say enough about that movie. That was a great movie.
That was a great movie.
Oh, good stuff. You guys, I don't think George Zimmerman is going to be going to see the Carters anytime soon.
Is he still alive?
Yes. Every time I see his name trending, I'm like, finally. But no, nope. Your least favorite acquitted murderer is back in the headlines again, this time for reportedly going after Beyonce and Jay-Z in a series of texts that were obtained by The Blast. So Zimmerman was contacted by private investigator Dennis Warren, who reached out to him as part of research for Jay-Z's co-produced documentary series that he did on Trayvon Martin.
Now, refresh my memory. George Zimmerman is the guy who shot and killed Trayvon Martin?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So they had reached out to him for an interview, and he didn't really appreciate that. According to Warren, Zimmerman sent over 100 harassing messages and voicemails saying everything from Beyonce is a broke whore and insisting that she and her husband Jay-Z would find themselves inside a 13-foot gator.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, he's threatening them because they're making a documentary.
Yes. And by the way, those threats are set to appear in the documentary's forthcoming series finale. So we reached out to George Zimmerman. Here's what he had to say. And then these texts will go up. But
it sounds racist.
Yeah, he's something, isn't he?
Yeah.
POS.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure yep. is. sure is.
And by the way, don't mess with Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're straight up Illuminati.
Right. Don't have to tell Kevin.
Right.
With his competing Radeon Durf cult.
Oh, it's not competing.
Oh, it's... Oh.
No, it's working with. Don't be ridiculous.
You said that out loud.
Yeah.
Or did you?
I said it out loud because people who need to know...
All right.
Radiant Durf.
Birthdays for you. Dancer Misty Copeland. Actors Colin Firth and Ryan Phillippe. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you. Hold on. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
They are loving you, yeah, Kevin.
Right. Studio digs you.
Cult is just getting bigger and bigger. Hey, Allie's here with our final look at what's happening on this Monday.
What's happening is season 35 of Jeopardy. Back tonight, you guys. It has
Are they
been...
ever going to find the killer or whatever it is they're doing on that show?
Find the killer.
What?
Well, I mean, just it's been on a long time. I feel like they got to start wrapping up some of the plot points, don't they?
It's a game show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That was weird.
What's new for season 35?
Alex Trebek has a beard. Let's start with that.
We call her his wife.
Stupid. But they have said, stay tuned for surprises. And then they posted a picture of him with the beard. And then they came back with bigger than the beard. So there's, like, stuff is happening. Is it going to be a new set? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. 7 p.m. tonight, Channel 7, me. We got a date. It has been in my iCal for 2 months.
I hope somehow there is more rapping this season.
Oh, sure.
Oh, there has to be.
Than ever before.
Wraith talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk. My swag different. My bag different. My wife Beyonce. I brag different. Special cloth talk. Major key.
He's everything, you guys.
Is he?
Yes. God, I love Jeopardy so much. I really do.
How would you do as a contestant on Jeopardy?
Not great. But there are games where I am just feeling it. I'm running categories. I'm doing great. And then
Has to be the right category. Yeah.
But there are some categories that I'm just like, no. Like math. Anything math.
Sure. Yeah.
Chemistry. Sometimes the before and after ones where you have to come up with a little saying and then do the second part. I get all in my head on those and I wind up yelling at the TV.
So frustrating.
Thank you, Kevin. But season 35 of Jeopardy back tonight.
That's impressive.
You guys, there's a new Prince movie that's going to be coming out on Netflix. And they have got their star. They know who has been chosen to play Prince.
Wow, that's
Prince Larry.
The purple one.
That's a difficult role to book.
Absolutely.
It better be Dave Chappelle.
It is not Dave Chappelle.
Because he was great at playing Prince on his show. Remember he played?
Yeah. Yes. Basketball, the pancakes and everything. That was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Well, can I tell you?
Yeah.
Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. He's been a fan. You are not a fan of Bruno Mars. I get it. But he has loved him since childhood. He did that Prince performance at the Grammys last year. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. But it'll be his acting debut, which is huge. What a role to step into if this does come to fruition.
Here's what I'll say. He doesn't have an original bone in his body, so I guess this is a good use of his abilities is just continuing his career path, which is mimicking other people.
Such a hater. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's what he does. So, yeah, maybe he's a good choice to play Prince.
Why are you drinking the haterade, man?
And I don't think he mimics other... He's inspired by other artists. How can someone like a Justin Timberlake, you don't say that he mimics everybody?
Because it doesn't seem like he does. Because he's not out there trying to actively be Prince or James Brown or Michael Jackson or
just because he's a great dancer and a great singer. He can't help that he's talented?
He can't help that he's talented. That's a good way to look at it, right?
There you go.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to stick up for Bruno Mars. You know I am.
Look, I'm way in the minority on this. I know people love Bruno Mars, but every time I hear a song, I go, well, I mean, I could just be listening to an old album by The Time and get the same thing, you know? It's just, it hasn't progressed at all.
All right. Well,
all of his songs came out like they sound right, like they came out in 1984.
So angry.
Right?
God. What did Bruno do to him, do you think?
I don't know, but I want to be the one in the movie who sells him the fentanyl.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
You are the worst.
This is a very interesting story. Paramore, they're retiring their breakout single Misery Business from their live shows. They made the announcement during a performance in Nashville, and Hayley Williams said to the audience, "Tonight we're playing this song for the last time for a really long time. This is a choice that we've made because we feel that we should. We feel like it's time to move away from it for a bit." She's been criticized in the past that there's a couple lines that are very anti-feminist. Mm-hmm. The line, "Once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that'll never change." And she's talked about it in depth in interviews, saying, "This is a song I wrote when I was 17. It was like ripped right from a page in my diary. This is just it." And they've done the song a lot and changed the lyrics or just left those out for a long time. So it's an odd choice to just nix it. Yeah, to nix it from the lineup altogether.
Hmm. Yeah, or just write a new line, or like you said, just don't sing that part.
It's odd, don't you think?
I missed this controversy completely. Had no idea this had been going on, and this is something she has been addressing.
I had no idea either, but... Do you also think maybe they're like, "We are so sick of that damn
That's
song,
possible,
too"?
Yeah.
That they're like, "This couldn't
played
be better.
So much.
Couldn't be better." But I guess that's it. They said, "We're playing this song for the last time for a really long time." So I feel like it might come back in some way, shape, or form. Right?
Sure. I mean, I would think they would just rewrite the lyrics.
Yeah. It's all very odd. Very odd.
She was 17 when she wrote that song.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Bragger, right?
Right.
Ridiculous. Well, y'all remember Post Malone, his private jet forced to make an emergency landing. Two of its tires exploded during takeoff. That was a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
Then on Friday night, he got in a pretty good fender bender with the Kia. He was in his $320,000 Rolls Royce. No one was injured, but both vehicles badly damaged. He wound up tweeting following the accident, "God must hate me, LOL." But don't worry, because he, the next day, on Saturday, decided he was going to shell out $420,000 for a new Rolls-Royce Phantom. So don't worry about Post Malone. He's going to be okay.
Isn't that funny? In a wreck one day, he's like, "You know, I'm just going to go get another new one."
More money than people see in many lifetimes.
Yes.
It's insanity to me. Just insane.
And I thought there wasn't much money in the music business anymore.
Yeah.
Apparently there is.
Yeah, there definitely is, for sure. Not sure if you heard about this, but his former home was broken into, which is insane. He doesn't even live there anymore. Nobody told the robbers, because they went in yelling for Post Malone. And when they couldn't find him, they pistol whipped the poor guy that lives there now.
What does that guy have to do with it?
Yeah, and then took off with $20,000 worth of jewelry, cash, and cell phones. So,
did they make that guy sing Rockstar?
I don't think so. I'm just saying, maybe stay away from Post Malone for a bit. There seems to be some stuff around him.
A cloud.
It's happening. Not great. And John Legend is now an EGOT winner. That's an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. This all went down last night at the Emmy Awards, the Creative Arts Emmy Awards, which were last night in Los Angeles. The actual Emmys are, what, a week away? When do they start?
I don't know.
They're coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Are they this weekend?
They might be.
Ugh. Listen, I don't have the information. I think I would.
That's going to blow.
Oh, right. Oof. Those hosts.
None of us are excited about it.
Oof. Good Lord. What if it's the best one ever, and we were all so wrong? Not we all. Sorry, Bean. You're the one that's giving them a chance. Not me. Not Kevin.
That's just not good.
Not Evan.
Look, I think it's possible those guys could be funny. I just, like I've said in the past, I just don't care about these awards anymore.
Right.
And it's a tedious broadcast.
But I feel like if you have at least a host or a hostess
that can be entertaining,
you're not going to feel like it's such a drag watching it. But those two are the smuggest.
Yeah, Jimmy.
A-holes. I just.
But you mix that with not being funny.
Right.
And then you've got them.
It's all good stuff, you guys.
Like a poor choice.
Real good stuff. This Olivia Munn situation with the Predator movie, good God.
So she alerted Fox that, hey, the guy I'm in these scenes with is a convicted child molester. Now word is that Fox didn't quite get back to her really fast enough.
Hmm.
So she had called her agents or manager, said, this dude is a child molester. Why am I in scenes with him? None of us knew any of this. Turns out then Fox did take action. They took this guy out of the movie. He winds up being a very good friend of the director, Shane Black. So he's been in three movies Shane has put him in. But now it's all coming out that some of the actors on the show weren't doing publicity with her. They were kind of backing off the whole situation.
So it's just her by herself?
So her by herself. And then even sadder, it was her showing up to do a scheduled interview with the Hollywood Reporter. And it was just her and Jacob Tremblay, the 11-year-old. So you're going to put this 11-year-old kid there to also answer questions? So it felt really weird and gross. And she wound up saying that she felt really isolated and alone in it, which then prompted members of the cast to speak out. And not a great situation.
No, not at all.
Well, why did she keep doing press when everybody else dropped out?
Great question. She said it's obligation. Yeah, contractually obligated.
I don't know that if the other people did or didn't have that deal.
Yeah. Keegan-Michael Key wound up saying through his representative that he had reached out to her. He wasn't supposed to be in that interview anyway. He had left to celebrate Rosh Hashanah with his wife. So he wasn't supposed to be in that interview. And then Sterling K. Brown did a series of tweets saying, I am so sad that you feel isolated. This isn't what any of us wanted. He wasn't even in Toronto for these interviews at all. So that was his excuse of missing that part of the press. But
right.
A lot going on with this, you guys.
Yep.
I don't like it at all. She shouldn't feel isolated for sticking up for herself and saying, hey, why didn't any of us have a choice of knowing that a convicted child molester was in a movie with us? No one knew.
Yeah, I feel like that's an important thing.
I feel like it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I don't understand is if Fox had come out saying, oh, we can't do background checks on actors. There's some like loophole thing that they can't do this. And I was like, when did this start and why? It's all very odd.
I haven't heard about that either.
Yeah, none of it makes sense, but
he went to jail. By the way, he never touched a kid. I don't know if that makes a difference to you
guys
or not.
Well, that's not true.
My understanding was that he was trying to lure an underaged girl into a sexual relationship on the internet. That's not the case?
Yeah, that was one of them. Then there was a family member that he had sent really disgusting texts with, and there was groping and touching and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. It's a bad situation.
That doesn't seem good.
Doesn't seem like a good dude.
No. Hey, how about some birthdays? That was heavy. Dancer Misty Copeland, actor Colin Firth, actor Ryan Phillippe, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. One of the best comedians working today, Bill Burr, will join us in studio. We've got your tickets to the Disneyland Resort and the Ohana Festival at Doheny State Beach tomorrow.